All right, let's hear about your 54-year-old lady.
So this is an interesting one again. So this lady, a young woman, was diagnosed with ER-positive, HER2-negative, left-sided breast cancer several years ago. It was interesting. In her case, she had a palpable lymph node at the time of diagnosis. So she had imaging done prior to her surgery. There was some suggestion of mets to the mediastinum. A bronch was done, which was inconclusive. So there was basically nothing definitive to suggest metastatic disease. So then she underwent local therapy with the lumpectomy and sentinel lymph node biopsy, had positive nodes, received adjuvant chemotherapy with docetaxel and cyclophosphamide, dose dense paclitaxel, and was placed on a hormonal therapy with anastrozole at that point. Shortly thereafter, she developed metastatic disease, frank progression in the lungs. So maybe in retrospect, she really did have mets to the lung even before the lumpectomy, but now she had frank metastatic disease. At that point, palbociclib was approved, and she was treated with palbociclib and letrozole. Now, this was interesting, actually. I just learned this in talking to her during today's visit. So at that point, when she was on palbo and letrozole, she was under the care of a different oncologist at a different practice. So the records that were available to me said that she progressed rapidly on letrozole and palbociclib. But today, the way she described it, and actually her sister, who's a nurse, described is they never had a long trial on palbociclib because she became neutropenic, even with dose reductions, and they had to stop the palbociclib because of cytopenias. So it appears she never truly progressed or did not have a long enough trial of a CDK4/6 inhibitor. So then she developed progression and then was placed on capecitabine, which she did well for an extended period of time, for about a year or so. She had good disease control with the capecitabine. Then at that point, when she progressed on capecitabine, she was again, her sister's a nurse. She came to me wanting NGS done on a tumor. So we got a biopsy for NGS, but at that time she had clear progression on capecitabine. So I started on eribulin, which she did well for a period of time. Then she progressed on eribulin. By that time, her NGS was reported, and the two findings were there was HENT1 amplification based on which gemcitabine was suggested, and then she had an ESR1 mutation. So she did well on gemcitabine. She had a good response to gemcitabine until about a week ago when she developed a malignant pleural effusion, which was drained, also had disease progression. Actually, it was partial disease progression of a target lesion. Some had increased, some was stable on gemcitabine. So then she was taken off the gemcitabine and started on nab-paclitaxel, which she has just started.
So I'm just kind of curious, are you thinking about hormone therapy for the future? At this point, she's only had letrozole and palbo. Then she's had a couple of chemo regimens. What about hormones? Is there any reason you sort of gave up on those?
The reason was when this lady was presented at the tumor board, she has an ESR1 mutation. The question of fulvestrant came up. There was some trepidation with using fulvestrant in this lady because she has fairly significant disease in her lungs, mediastinal adenopathy, and it's not an insignificant amount of like target lesions that she had in her lungs. So there was some trepidation about using fulvestrant alone in a lady with a visceral disease and some symptoms from a visceral disease. So while we've not given up on the idea of using hormonal therapy, just because of a visceral disease, the pleural effusions, the symptoms, that's why chemotherapy was always chosen for her as the next line of therapy. And even now, there's some consideration to adding fulvestrant to nab-paclitaxel, and I would be curious to know Dr. Tulaney's thoughts on that.
Yeah, and also, I was interested, Sarah, by this history of having so many problems on palbo with neutropenia. Have you seen that? What do you do in that situation? What about using another CDK inhibitor?
About 60% of patients on palbociclib will develop grade 3 or 4 neutropenia, and about 40 to 50% of patients will have dose modification. So we often go from the 125 milligram dose that's given 3 weeks on, 1 week off, down to 100. And then if people have further challenges with grade 3 or 4 neutropenia, even at that dose, then we'd have to go down to 75. You know, I will say it's rare where I've had patients who are down on 75 where they're not tolerating it due to neutropenia. But I think if that's the case that arises, such as this patient, then I think you can either continue the aromatase inhibitor alone, or you could consider trying a different CDK. And specifically, I would try abemaciclib since that has a much lower incidence of neutropenia. anemia. So this patient hasn't really progressed on a CDK4/6 inhibitor. And so I would think at the time of progression on an nab-paclitaxel, one could consider fulvestrant and abemaciclib at that period of time. And, you know, she has an ESR1 mutation, so a drug such as fulvestrant should have activity. And again, she's CDK4/6 naive in essence, since she never really progressed on one.